Hi, I'm Dave Spadaro. Welcome to PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles general manager Howie Roseman began his Wednesday at Lincoln Financial Field, part of a very distinguished panel discussing the impact of the health industry on sports, part of the Rothman Institute's Impact of Sport Conference. Roseman was joined on the panel by very distinguished members of the Philadelphia sports community, Peter Lukow of the Flyers, Adam Aaron of the Philadelphia 76ers, and Ruben Amaro Jr., of the Phillies. Afterward, Roseman spoke to reporters about the conference and about the Philadelphia Eagles.
We try to do that a couple times a year. Go to a game. I go to games of every team in this city and root for them, and they come to us too. So it's fun being together.
What do you do with that cap space, and do you plan on addressing that at any point in the next few months?
Well, the hardest part of our jobs is balancing short-term versus long-term. And when you look at the cap's flat going forward. So when we look at our cap situation next year and 2 years out, we don't have any sort of flexibility. If we don't push any money forward, we're in the hole. So obviously we don't know everything about who's exactly going to be on our team, what we're going to need it for. If there was an opportunity to add someone that we thought was part of our core group, we would do that. But at the same time, we want to be smart about it, and we want to be in a position at some point here to get back competing every year. And to do that, you need money.
There are some big names out there in free agency. I mean, is that also part of the reason of having so much cap space that we saw Woodson, I think, sign last night? But is it possible that you guys could add some veteran depth at some point over here in the next few months?
Yeah, every day we're meeting as a personnel staff and discussing the players that are on the street. If we thought there was someone who could make a difference, who upgraded what we had, and there are good players out there, but we also want to see our young players develop, and that's part of our responsibility is drafting and developing our players and then hopefully having enough cap room, having enough space to go and extend those guys at some point, and whether that's this year or next year, targeting those guys and making sure that they're here for a long time.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you since Chip started OTAs, and we've had a few weeks of that now. We've only seen glimpses of it, but I'm sure you've seen more. What are your impressions, and is it as different for you as it is for us?
Well, it was consistent with what you see at the University of Oregon when you went there and you watch practice, and I had the opportunity to go up there a bunch of times and see how they practice. So for me personally, it's kind of what I expected, and it's a lot of energy. The most important thing that we have is buy-in from our players, and you see how hard they're working, how hard they're training. I think that's the reason for optimism, is because they're buying in.
Was that something that you wondered about when you hired Chip, you know, given that he had an exclusive college background?
Well, not necessarily Chip, but being with Andy for so long and these players being with Andy for so long, never having someone different. So it was just an unknown for me personally and for a lot of our players.
Early returns, Howie, just from the OTA's general impressions about what you've seen, what the coaching staff has seen?
A lot of energy, very fast-paced. I think that the players are really getting into the pace of play on both sides of the ball, and so you want to be careful in shorts not to evaluate too much, get too far ahead of ourselves and wait till the pads come on, but for where we are now, things look like they should look.
Demaris Johnson, I remember you were pretty hyped about him when you guys got him as an undrafted guy, and he was able to contribute as a rookie, but it seems like there are opportunities to maybe for him to flourish in this type of offense. Is that kind of how the team feels about Demaris, or you know, what do you see there with him?
Well, we were so excited to get Demaris as a free agent, and looking back at the process, probably should have drafted him because we were so excited about him through the fall and kind of took a chance that he wouldn't be there. And certainly if we didn't get him, we would have been upset. But talking about a young player, we'd look for our guys from the first and second year to make a jump and to find out more about them because they have the whole off season to be with our coaches, to be in the weight room. And for him, he's going to look good, obviously, in shorts. He's got exceptional quickness. He's got long speed. And the big thing for him is continuing to develop his strength, and then when the pads come on.
What do you make of Chip? Came out recently that like Avant was taking some reps at the defensive backs, and Harbor was taking some reps at outside linebacker. What do you make of? And then was that something you knew about him because you had been at the
practice? That's a great question because you know from our perspective, that's exciting. You know when we talk about this and Coach talks to us about kind of what he's thinking, that provides more versatility. And when you have 46 men on a roster, and someone goes down, you're in trouble a lot of times. I mean, it's hard to find nickel corners. It's hard to find a guy who can play outside linebacker and play on special teams. So, obviously, we don't have all the information on these guys we're talking about, but just having those guys take the reps. And we played in the Super Bowl, and we played against Troy Brown as our nickel corner. So, you got a guy in Jason Avant who's got incredible feel for the position. He's certainly physical and tough. You see that when he plays special teams. So, it's just exciting. It's fun to watch.
Chip, who normally would have 100 players trying to kind of get used to the fact that he probably only had 53 and what 46
really, you talk about 46, and so he's just making sure that if we get in a situation that we got someone ready to go. And when you do it now, it's not during the season when you're game planning, it's week 8, you have a nickel corner go down, hey Jason, take some reps, this is the time to do it.
It sounds like the draft will be moved back a few weeks next year, and as the GM, how's that going to affect you, and what's your reaction to that?
Well, we were talking about it this morning. This will be our week coming off the draft. Yeah. So it's a difference for us in how we prepare. And at the same time, whatever works for the league, we're in favor of and we'll support.
Did this kind of come out of nowhere, though? I hadn't heard any discussion of this. They were talking about various tweaks to the league year with the combine and stuff, but I didn't hear anybody talk about moving the draft to mid-May until all suddenly it was done. Or seemed like it was done.
Yeah, there's been discussions with us at league meetings about the possibility of this and the reasons for it. And so it doesn't change our preparation. You know, everything about it is going to be focused on the draft and starting that process. And we start that next week with national meetings.
And yet there was a story in SI, Don Banks basically talked to a bunch of CEOs, executives that weren't in favor of it. Have you heard any rumblings from around the league that people were, you know?
Well, this time of year, for all of us, you get a chance to watch practice. You get a chance to see your players. It's a good time of year. So it's not a situation really where there's a lot more on your plate because you're starting for next year and you're starting from scratch right now. And so we'll adjust. It'll be a couple of weeks and we're able to adjust and our scouting staff will adjust.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but the CBA was supposed to favor guys like Felix Jones, who a veteran who can sign one-year deals because it doesn't count the same against the cap to the actual value. But we see so many of those type of players still on the market. Why is that, and do you expect more of those one-year type deals?
Well, I think when you take guys who are doing one-year deals, and you've seen that in free agency the next 2 years, they're coming back on the market. So you add them to the free agent classes that are there, and that creates the amount of players that you see. And there's a limited amount of cap room in the league. And then you got to make decisions. You got to decide if I want a veteran player or if I want a young player to develop. And those are all decisions that we're constantly making. And it goes back to this short-term versus long-term planning.
Back to practice, the increased number of reps. As an evaluator, just talk about how that helps you when you see a player take, I don't know, what percentage more reps is somebody getting, do you think?
Well, it's a lot more time watching practice tape than normally you do this time of year. And it's a lot of reps, and you're getting an opportunity to see guys in different situations that maybe normally you wouldn't see to training camp. And so we just got to caution ourselves that these guys are still in shorts and that when the pads come on, things will change. But just seeing them run around, and really when you talk about scouting, it's a study of movement, because a lot of times you're watching college teams or other NFL teams and you don't know exactly what they're being asked to do. So we're watching their movement and trying to figure out if that fits what we're trying to do.
And now there's uncertainty in terms of how players are going to fit in this scheme. Is that prohibiting you or holding you back from engaging in extension discussions with, say, someone like Jermaine Maclin or other free agents to be?
Well, that's the unknown when you hire new staff and you change schemes, is that you think certain players can fit, you think certain players are good fits, but until you see them in action, it's hard to exactly know. And one of the things that's hard for us, and you've seen it some this offseason, is we've had players that were good players in a different scheme and that we've invested in, and it's not going to turn over. And for me, that's different because we've been with one head coach, but when you talk to people around the league, they tell you when you change coaches, when you change schemes, there are going to be good players that fall by the wayside, and that's hard for the general manager because you know it's a good player and you know in a different scheme he's going to be a good player, but at the same time it's not a good fit for you.
So is it fair to say there won't be any contract discussions before the season?
No, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. For us, at the same time, we also have to make a decision and we have to believe what we see, and because we see all these reps and at the same time get the pads on and see them, if there's a guy that we think is part of our future, we're going to talk to him.
You did bring in Felix Jones recently. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that. If I recall 2008 accurately, that was somebody that you guys scrutinized quite a bit at that time. Is that the case? And why do you think he didn't become the player that a lot of people thought he was going to be then?
I think he'd tell you the injuries, the nagging injuries in his career. Every time he started to get going, something kind of brought him back. I know as an opponent playing the Dallas Cowboys, you were worried about Felix Jones. And so we're hoping that that's a guy that can come here and kind of get a second chance and become the player. At the same time, we like our running backs. We like our young running backs, and we're excited about those guys as well. And we weren't out there actively looking for a runner, but we just thought it was a good situation.
On that note, I don't mean to make a big deal about a rookie free agent, but there's intrigue about why you would release a guy who hasn't been on the field yet. Can you address, in the case of Masonette, why you made that decision?
Well, one of the things we try to do with our players is be up front. And when we signed Masonette after the draft, we told him he had a great shot to compete for a roster spot. And when we signed Felix and brought him in here and brought Tucker in as well, who we got later in the free agent period after the draft, it wasn't the same situation. And for us, we wanted to be up front with him and tell him, hey, we brought in another guy. We also have an undrafted free agent, and it may be a better opportunity for you somewhere else. And we're just going to try to be as transparent as possible. At the same time, we're going to try to do what's best for us. There's no doubt about that.
You saw him on the field for 3 days, though, for rookie camp.
3 days for rookie camp, and then you go back to the tape. And these decisions, at the same time, you're trying to balance your roster, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to have a lot of guys and where you want young guys to get reps. And we decided at the running back position, we want these guys to get reps.
You and Chip weren't up in the arguing over this one.
No. Six running back, you know, that's not a thing that we're spending a lot of time debating.
Is something to do with the rule prohibiting these players from getting on the field because they're graduating?
Absolutely not. You know, for us, it was a bunch of factors, including the amount of running backs we wanted to carry, the amount of the running back that we added, and then just figuring out what's the best fit for us and the player.